This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, we were kind of sweating that this morning and, talking to the commanders and Adam Peters, our general manager, we were sweating that out. There were several teams involved with it. And, Sam's a football player. I think that's the best way to describe it. You know, there's guys that, he'll play quarterback when you watch, and then everybody saw him play out here. He had a great day against us this past fall. But he's a quarterback, but he's really a football player. That's what I love about him. You know, really tough, young. You know, he's 23 years old, and has 18 starts. You know, in the league already, and you know he's the same age as like Daniels from LSU and Rattler and Penix, and he's a year younger than Bo Nix, and you know so. You know, we're just really excited to be able to acquire him. And
GM John Schneider, who actually worked here in D.C. many, many years ago. Now he runs the Seattle Seahawks. It's first offseason post Pete Carroll running the show all by himself. And one of his first big splash moves, bringing in Sam Howell, who's got a chance to take over the starting job from Geno Smith before the end of the season. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. On the Fan, Danny should be back on Monday. Kick off your future with the law firm of Kondori and Murad, the official G&D show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. I would have made this trade if I was Adam Peters. I love the value Washington got. And I'm considering it a coup and a win right now. Because I'm taking a quarterback at number two, if I'm the GM. And because Sam Howell's my quarterback too, if I'm the GM, not Mariota. But I would still trade my backup with another guy I'm paying $6 million to, who is a backup and not a starter, for a late third-round pick every single time, or an early fourth-round pick. A little more debatable, but pretty much every single time I'm trading my backup quarterback for a fourth. Got to do it. The value exceeded my expectations. So I'm asking you the question, 800-636-1067. Are we going to view this trade a few years from now as something that we regret or something that we applaud? Remember, this is the first trade Peters has made, really. I was reading a piece in The Athletic. It was about baseball executives, not football. It just came out, I think. You know what it was, actually, now that I think about it? It came out this week, and it was this piece done where a bunch of GMs were asked about the first trade they ever made. It's actually really funny because some of the anecdotes were great. But a bunch of guys were super nervous, and they thought like veteran GMs were taking advantage of them. There were some quotes in there where guys like, "He's not hurt, is he? Please tell me you're not screwing me over and making me look like an idiot." I mean, because think about it. It's not unlike taking over a fantasy team in a league where a lot of people pay in or something, and it's an important league, only times 1 billion, where this is your first trade. Everyone's going to see the results. You better be right. It's the first one going on your ledger. So for that reason, you got Schneider, who's done this for a long time. Peters, first time out. I think the early returns are really good for Peters. You see today another quarterback trade where Pickett got similar value, and Pickett is a first-round pick who was second on the depth chart, not third. Another reason why I'd say this is a good win for Peters. But I would be lying to you if I sat here today and I told you that watching how Schneider talked about Hal yesterday, how confident he is that he's going to be good, watching and seeing the reporting come in now that four different teams, 12% of the league, were calling and talking to the Commanders about Sam Howell, reportedly. If those things didn't at least make me go, 23, 4,000 yards, 20 touchdowns, year where the line was below average and the coordinator wasn't particularly good, didn't give him a ton of chance with balance. Let's go to the phones. Tyler's in Woodbridge on Grant and Danny. What do you think, Tyler?
Hey, Grant. Happy Friday.
You too, buddy.
As a Seahawks fan, right, you know, I mean, like I said, I like the trade. I trust John. John's made really good trades over the last, decade, right, even, with Pete Carroll. You know, Seattle doesn't have a second round, so it wouldn't surprise me if Seattle trades back out of the first to collect more picks. But to answer your question, though, I only think this is going to fail for Peters and Dan Quinn in Washington. I think it's only going to fail if the picks that you now got that moved you up that from Seattle fail. If those picks fail, then obviously the trade would fail. Now, if those guys are starting for the Commanders in 2 to 3 years, then I would say the trade is a success, right? And John likes Hal a lot. I mean, I remember reading about that back in the draft, and he got his guy. He's young, and now they can focus on the defense with their first pick or whatever they want to do.
So it's a really good call. That's definitely going to be one of the ways it's viewed. So what he means to – I think what I'm taking out of that is Washington got picked 78 and 152 from Seattle. They went up 24 and 27 spots respectively from round 4 to round 3, from round 6 to round 5. If the Commanders in round 3 take – I'm just going to assign a name, okay? Let's say Max Melton, the corner from Rutgers, at pick 78. And by the end of next season, Melton is a star, where it just looks like he's the best corner they've drafted, like post-Carlos Rogers, top 10 out of Auburn or something. Imagine that, you know it from Seattle. All you guys do is draft good corners. But, like, at the end of Tariq Woolen's rookie year, now they call him Reek Woolen for some reason that I can't figure out. He just changed, dropped a few letters, I guess. But if at the end of his rookie year, like, you ask a Seattle fan about Tariq Woolen, they're like, "This dude's unbelievable. We got it. The next great corner in the league." If that's how Max Melton plays and he is on a fast track and he ends up being a guy who's here for 10 years as a really good starter, then yeah, you're right. It's going to be viewed way better. Or that pick at 152. If that turns into, in the fifth round, them taking a edge that has 7.5 sacks in his sophomore season, I'm sure it'll be viewed better. In terms of the trade, it'll be viewed as a win. I'm actually coming at this from a different perspective, though. I think what happens with Hal, and what happens most importantly with your number 2 pick, are how fans are going to view this. If you take Jaden Daniels second, and Jaden Daniels becomes Lamar Light, who cares what's happening with Sam Howell, with all due respect? If you take Drake May second, and he becomes a little bit of what I think he's going to, which is kind of like a Herbert Allen hybrid, not to say he'll be as good as those two guys, but like that's the style of play, and he's a back end top 10 type quarterback or something like that, then you win. Then it doesn't matter. You were taking a rookie quarterback at 2 because the ceiling's higher than Hal, because they're 2 years more rookie contract bargain money than Hal. It's a no-brainer. But if you miss on the QB, if you take Daniels and the transition is bad and he becomes Fields, if you take May and the transition is bad and he becomes, you know, Mitch Trubisky out of UNC or whatever comp you want to use for a buster at the top of the board. Well, then all of a sudden we look over in Seattle and we figure out what's Sam Howell doing. And if those guys stink up the joint and Sam Howell becomes a 6-7 year starter in Seattle, Cousins 2.0 or whatever, where he puts up, you know, 4,300 yards and 30 touchdowns every season and is a top 10-ish quarterback in the league, then yeah, it'll look really, really bad. But I think it's more based on the QB decisions. Are you right at 2 and what does Howell become than necessarily what happens at 78 and 152? Because it's deep enough into the draft that I just don't know that people are going to be as plugged in on those selections. Let's go to Yancey and Falls Church, home of the Jaguars, on Grant and Danny. Yancey, I don't know when you jumped in, but I would have made the deal. I like the deal. I think Peters did the right thing. But I am wondering if there's any chance the Commanders end up regretting moving on from Howell yesterday.
Yeah, thanks, Grant. I know you're an analytics guy, but I think why people like Howell, and I know you're going to accuse me of being a howler, is in the pressure situations, fourth quarters, does your guy come through for you? And I think when Howell had those opportunities, he did play really well. Eagles, Broncos, when he had that opportunity. For me, that the second part of the year, once they let our two defensive ends go, you can't really judge that part anymore, in my view. So I think he's a fourth quarter baller, and for a backup, I think that would be great to have him. I mean, Mariota, definitely not. Even Kirk Cousins, I mean, he put up the fantasy numbers, but in the fourth quarter, all the games I watched, he'd throw that critical interception.
Did you watch him last year when he set the record for fourth quarter comebacks and game-winning drives in the NFL?
In his, what, eighth, ninth year?
So you're talking about when he was here.
I know. Yeah.
Gotcha. Appreciate the phone call. Sam Howell's been really good in the fourth quarter. I would agree with you. For the most part, anecdotally, in those big spots, big drives, I think you're onto something. The Broncos game comes to mind. You mentioned the Eagles games. When he took the field, more often than not, at the end of games when you need to go on a drive, I think you felt good about them putting something together. His numbers last year, for what it's worth, in the fourth quarter, over the course of the whole year, were his worst numbers in any quarter, though. It was the only quarter where he had more interceptions than touchdowns, 8 picks and 7 touchdowns, where his completion percentage was lowest by quarter. First quarter, 65%. Second quarter, 63%. Third quarter, 67%. Fourth quarter, 59%. So sometimes the way we feel, in the same, like you talk about Cousins, right? We all remember the Giants pick that was terrible where they missed the playoffs and penultimate season, I think 2 years before he left here, 2016 or whatever. People don't remember as much when they won the division in Philly in week 16, you know, with the East on the line when he threw for 360 yards and 4 touchdowns. But same thing happened with Tony Romo back in the day, right? Where there's a narrative. Everyone kind of says, oh, he chokes. You know, he's awful in December. He'll throw a pick on the last drive. Except for the times he doesn't. But the book just kind of gets written. So you're right. I think there were drives where he was really good. But that was not the norm. And statistically speaking, if you rank his performance by quarter, his worst quarter last year was actually the fourth quarter. Now, that having been said, I think 1 year at his age on a bad team, it's not a fair sample anyway. I'm just reacting to the comment. So I don't think he's like unclutch. In fact, I would agree with you that I think he does have that baller mentality that, like, all right, let's mess around and make a play here. I kind of like him in that gear. I always did. And I think he can become that guy. So I get why fans like Sam Howell. I'm not asking, like, what do you guys see? I totally understand it. First off, you're a fifth-round pick. You're the little engine who could. Second off, you're a little undersized. Who doesn't like rooting for a guy who's a little undersized? Third, you've been starved for a quarterback for 30 years, so it doesn't matter who comes in here. Everybody jumps on whoever the new toy is. Now you jump off soon enough, but at one point, Dwayne Haskins had a massive following. At one point, look at Taylor Heineke. I don't like being mean, but Taylor Heineke is not that good. I mean, what? Go back and see what he did in Atlanta last year. He kind of stinks, right? But, like, he did some good things here. He was very league average at times here on a bad team that's been looking for a QB, and people loved him. So I've kind of come to the conclusion people will always, there's always going to be a small group of the fan base that loves every quarterback. There are people in Chicago right now, think about this. There are Bears fans who want to stick with Justin Fields after watching him for 3 years overtaking a quarterback with the number one pick in the draft. They want to just draft receivers and linemen and build around Fields. Fans are going to have an affinity for whoever they've been watching, and there's jerseys of. I get it. Like, you're in a relationship with someone. Those great moments lead to residual feelings. It's hard to quit that. There's highs. The Denver game was incredible. The three-game stretch, New England, Philly, Seattle, awesome. That ecstasy, the morning you woke up in a nice tropical island, you remember back to the flower petals on the bed and the honeymoon. Like, you're going to have feelings. It doesn't just go away. I'm not asking you, why does anyone think Sam Howell? I think Sam Howell's decent. I think he could be a really, really, really good QB2 and a starter on a team that's probably, you know, a 7-8 win team. Back of the league kind of club. It's why I would have done the deal that Peters did. But it does give me a little pause when I see four teams wanted to trade for him. And that John Schneider's basically been all about him for a couple of years and studied the film and said, yeah, I want to try this. If the Commanders had the 15th pick, I think this would be a very different convo for the record. Or if they didn't have a first-round pick in some weird hypothetical, then Sam Howell would be my starter next year. I'd have no problem with that. The only reason I feel like I do, which is, for God's sake, whatever you can get for Sam, do it, and move along and find your quarterback of the future, is because of where they're drafting. Can we acknowledge the value of picking second? Can we acknowledge the likeliness of getting a quarterback right that high versus everywhere else, please? And that's where I'm at on it. My take has nothing really to do with Howell. It's not an anti-Howell take. It's a pro number two pick quarterback take. If you didn't have a QB last year that led the league in sacks and picks, if you didn't have a new GM, new head coach, new owner, then maybe the math is different here, but it's not. If you didn't have the number two pick, I think the whole conversation changes. But you got a new GM and a new head coach and a new offense and a new system and new ownership group. Everything's a fresh coat of paint. And you're picking second in a really legitimately strong quarterback class. It just became a no-brainer. And if he's not your starter, the only thing I disagree with them on is this idea that Mariota is the unquestioned number two. Doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But if he's your three, then you obviously can trade him. If he's your two, which is what I would have done, I would draft Drake May second. His best friend is Sam Howell. He'd be the backup. They'd compete. They'd be buddies. They'd play Madden. They'd go out drinking together. They'd be pals. They'd study the playbook together. And that would be my quarterback room. You know, maybe I sign some other ham and egger who's 30 years old and hadn't started in 4 years to be a mentor. But that's my QB room. They did the Mariota thing. So I don't necessarily completely agree with that. But if someone's coming and offering me a late three, early four for my backup quarterback, I will say yes every single time. Danny's in Rochester. Danny, will they regret this or will we be applauding it?
Grant H. Paulson, you got to come up to Rochester, see a Red Wings game. I'll buy you some wings.
I would love that.
But I actually think even if Sam turns into a franchise guy, which the Seahawks are known to do, they do like to stash a guy and develop him. Even if he turns into a franchise guy, I think it's a great move for Washington because, like you said, two is going to be a quarterback. Drake or Jaden, probably. I happen to like Drake a little bit more, but I like Jaden too. Whatever that is, that kid gets to come in, wear the C on his chest, doesn't have to worry about the guy who was here last year from that player's standpoint, but from the organization standpoint, it's all new. The regime is gone. Sorry, Sam, it didn't work out here. You're still a good quarterback, though, and you can be valuable to another team and valuable to us. Especially the way they've done the free agency, they now have six picks in the top 100, and they can just take best player available each time, except for number two, obviously.
Totally. Hey, how are we looking on the 40-degree guarantee?
Oh, man, I love the 40-degree guarantee. It's my favorite thing to do every year. I buy the ticket no matter what. But no, it's great. Also, the food at the stadium is incredible. And in terms of view, I actually kind of liken it to the Pirate Stadium because you're right on the river. You get to see the bridge.
No way.
You know, Rochester is an old rot, like Rust Belt city that has like that beautiful, like, you know, old city style. So, yeah, you I think you would love a Red Wings game. And hopefully, I'm hoping Brady House gets up here this year. I'm big on House.
Oh, he definitely will. So, appreciate the call. Me and Toby, who is my co-host for Boston Loose Baseball, which is a Nats podcast that you should all be subscribed to wherever you get your audio. We just recorded episode 100, which is now available, a prospect extravaganza. We've been talking about making a trip maybe to Rochester, Harrisburg, hitting a couple of the locations this baseball season. So I'll have to post that, and hopefully he sees it, and we can link up if that happens. But the 40-degree guarantee bit is a 10. The GM there has been doing this forever. On opening day every year, if it's not 40 degrees, they give you your money back for your ticket and like buy you a ticket for later in the season. Because it's so cold in Rochester, to get anyone come out to opening day is hard. So, quite literally, like, it's going to be, I don't know, 33 degrees, 38 degrees, whatever. If it's below 40, you get your money back, and they buy you a ticket for later in the season. So, everyone's praying that it's not like 42 degrees. Because you're going to be cold anyway, and then you get nothing out of the deal. What would lead to you regretting the Hal trade? Will you care at all what happens with him if the Commanders take a QB at 2 and the QB's really good? 800-636-1067. I'm of the belief, whether it's, like, honestly, I'll be fine with any of the three of May, Daniels, or McCarthy. I have my preferences, right? Obviously, Drake May is the guy I want. But with any of those three guys at 2 or moving back a pick or 2 and grabbing them, whatever, I'll feel pretty good. And there's an order for me. But my point is, I'm not going to be wondering what she's doing with her new boyfriend. I'll be fine. I'm just going to be doing my own thing, going out with my new girl. Are you going to feel that way, or are you going to kind of be looking over there if you don't get your guy? Like if you're a Jaden guy and they take Drake, or if you're a Drake guy and they take McCarthy. 800-636-1067, G&D on the Fan. No Danny today, G&D. We're off at 6, a little early, half hour earlier than normal. Nats baseball tonight. A little spring training flavor from West Palm Beach. Warm you up on this beautiful day. Trevor Williams is on the hill. Huh? Charlie and Dave got your call coming up in a little over 30 minutes. Vic's in the house, so I know we got a baseball game. If I see Slick Vic Ferreira around here, I know there's a baseball game about to happen. By the way, come in here real quick. Vic accused me of something the other day that I want to bounce off you guys. I need you in here real quick, Vic. Vic threw something at me yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago now, and I want you guys to confirm something because Vic does not believe it at all, okay? Vic sees me in the hallway. This has been maybe 3 days ago now. And he goes, Grant, you responded to my text like 4 days late.
Yes.
And I was like, no, I didn't. What are you talking about? So we interviewed Brian McClellan like over a week ago.
It was last Friday.
General manager of your Washington Capitals.
Yes, sir.
You gave him up because they were going to Virginia. By the way, they're probably not going to Virginia now.
They're my team.
You got to be fired up about that.
Fired up.
Vic is back.
Back in after the win yesterday, baby.
That was huge. A couple of points.
Huge.
Connor McMichael with the GWG. So anyway, so you texted me during the Brian McClellan interview.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Do you remember what it was about?
I don't remember. I just asked you a simple yes or no
about. You're like, he just said Nicholas Aubé-Kubel is not going to be on the team next year, right?
Right, or something like that.
And I responded, yes.
You responded yes 3 days ago, or 3 days after.
So, but this is what's interesting. I responded yes immediately.
No, you didn't.
You didn't get it immediately.
But here's the thing. I've gotten text messages from 4 or 5 other people during the weekend. No problems with my phone.
Right.
But for some reason, Grant wants to wait 3 days later to send me a simple, yeah.
I'm not really a 3 days later respond guy. I've got a track record of being a prompt response guy.
Well, this was not your day, guy.
It was not. But I just want you to know that I did respond immediately. I don't know what happened. I'm not blaming your phone. Seems like you think I'm blaming your phone. It might be my phone. I went from a Droid, which is superior, to an iPhone, which is not. I now have an iPhone. Maybe it's an iPhone thing. I don't know. We're also in a studio where the signal's not always great. You know this. Sit in here and try to get texts and calls out.
Fair point.
Something weird could have happened.
Once you leave the studio, which I assume you left the studio in that three-day gap.
I did.
And your service will probably be back to 100%.
You would think so.
To that 5G.
I think something weird happened where, like, I text you back. I go down to the parking garage. I'm in some kind of weird mode. My phone stops, like, functioning normally. And then a bunch of days go by, and my phone's like, oh, we haven't sent this to Vic still? What the hell's going on here?
Right.
And so it just sends it to you. And Vic, like, he's like, I just got your text back. I'm like, what are you talking about? But the part that made me look so terrible. So this, I will admit, is so, like, as soon, I couldn't even get it out without saying, like, I'm now guilty. I will do 30 years for not having committed this murder because this sounds like I committed the murder when I say it.
Right.
Okay? I said to you, Vic, I go, or you said, let me see your text.
Because
Vic shows me his text, and clearly the text came in like 4 days after he sent the text to me. And you know what I said to Vic when he asked to see my texts? Harris and Ryan knows where this is going. I said, and I quote, oh, I don't have it. I delete all my texts.
Oh.
And Vic's like, oh, I'm sure. That seems like something you would do. But the reason I bring you in is because I want Harris and Ryan to attest to this. I am a text deleter. I'm a minimalist. I'm the kind of guy that if I lived on my own without kids or a wife, my house would be like one of those plastic chairs that you get like outside at Walmart that I would like sit in front of a TV with. Nothing on the walls. I would never paint anything. I would have 7 shirts that say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I nothing in my fridge ever. I would never open it. I delete all emails. Right now, this moment, look at my inbox, Victor. I'm up to 5 because I just got 3 new ones at 444, 457, and 5. I haven't been able to take care of them.
So essentially, you're the anti-Chris Russell, where he has about 900 tabs and about 700,000 emails.
I can't do that.
But you delete everything.
Look at my phone right now.
So how do you reference anything?
Zero texts. Now, right now, I've got these. I got to clear these out. These little numbers on my Gmail tells me I got a notification on Instagram at Grant H. Paulson, on X at Grant H. Paulson. I got to get in there. I got to sift through those. I have a disorder. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's OCD. I can't see email or text, so I just delete it all. I zero it out. Zero out my inbox every day.
Yeah, but you can open that up, and then it just the numbers will go away once you open it.
I agree, but like I on my texts, if you look, one scroll to the bottom, basically, I don't keep all my texts.
So now I know in future reference, when I'm texting you, it's possible in an hour, you're just going to delete that thread.
No, it's not possible. It's 1,000%.
Okay, got it.
The second after we're done texting.
Because I think that's the big issue, is you deleting your threats.
Look, here's Vic Ferreira. We've never texted.
I don't understand.
Darris Dameron. Have I ever texted Darris? Worked with him for 3 years. Good buddy of mine. Oh, we did text this morning at 10:52 a.m. The first text we ever sent together. This will be deleted by the end of the night. When I put my head on my pillow every night, I'm deleting all the texts.
So you're not big timing me.
No.
That's because in the end,
I would never do that.
The moral of the story is I think you're big timing me.
Darris, Ryan, do you think I waited 4 days and then just responded, yep? Because that is the worst thing you can do to someone, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance that you did that. That it doesn't make any sense to wait that long to respond to someone. You've waited maybe like an hour. A couple hours to respond to something. 3 days is excessive. That doesn't seem like Grant Paulson.
And just a one-word answer after 3 days? I mean, what a disrespectful...
That's why I thought you were big-timing me with the one-word answer.
Now, Vic, just to make sure this checks out, this is my text thread with Grant, because I don't delete text. So you see, it's...
Is there more than just today?
There's more than just today. Right. So, yeah.
So checks many out. Texts. Rhino, what do you think? Am I guilty or innocent?
No, he's innocent. And I had a long discussion with Vic about this the other day in person when he was really investigating this. And he was like,
oh, you guys have already been talking about this.
So he was like, hey, does Grant erase his messages? And I was like, he does. This is something that he has always done.
You've been getting to the bottom of this behind my back?
Yeah, I've been doing some investigation.
So what are your your people, your investigators that you hired, what are they coming back and telling you?
Well, initially, I thought you were guilty. But, you know, after listening to some of these testimonies, it appears that you are innocent.
Let's go. No time.
But I think your way of life of texting is terrible.
I agree
awful.
With you. If I could fix it, I'm not doing a bit. If I could fix it, I would do it.
You can. Here's how you fix it. Yeah, don't delete it. That's it. That's how you fix it.
I need to.
I have text messages from people from 2011. That's how far back
That's
I have.
That's outrageous.
But yeah, but the thing is, I like to go back and look. Like, who is this? Who is this?
Oldest text is.
Go down memory lane.
I will say I keep texts with sillies. No disrespect to Vic, but like.
Big time.
If I'm texting like GMs, coaches, something like that.
Right.
Because here's why. I want to remember stuff that they've said. So like going back.
So
well,
you don't need to remember
I'm
what I
gonna
said.
I'm not going to say the name.
Got it.
But like look at the name on the bottom there.
Oh, okay. I see that name.
You know
yeah.
that guy?
I know that guy.
Yeah. That's the now also that's from this football season. That's from the fall. So I have deleted everything from before there. But that's kind of how I do it.
I'm surprised you don't delete that, you know, just in case someone's, you know, little leaks that come out.
Probably need to delete that
yeah,
one.
Yeah. I would delete that.
I think at this point that one can be deleted.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Victor, thank you, and have a great call tonight.
Thank you. I have a great call.
I'm looking forward to Nats baseball on the fan at 6 p.m.
On the flagship for Nationals baseball.
Your flagship home for Nationals baseball, 106.7 The Fan. Vic, thank you, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you. Oh, just like that, innocent until proven guilty. I did, as soon as I said, though, I had that moment where I went, oh, God, he's never going to believe me. When he showed, he's like, here's the text. Let me see yours. Let me see when you sent it. I was like, eh, I can't show it to you. It's like, what do you mean you can't show it to me? I deleted it. Quite literally like telling your professor, I can't show you my work. Why not? Well, I didn't write it down. But you did it. You didn't just like punch the numbers into a calculator. No, I did it. I just didn't write it down. It's on a napkin at the restaurant. Dante's in D.C. What's up, Dante? Dante?
Hey, Grant.
What's up,
hey,
buddy?
Grant, thanks for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener. I've been listening to you guys since 2014.
Let's go.
Love the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys are amazing.
Have you called before, or are you a first-time caller?
Yeah, first-time caller.
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
You got to say that. We got to give you the Jim Zorn treatment.
Yeah, yep. First time caller. Been listening to the show for a very long time.
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
Yeah, you guys are awesome, man. Really, you know, make my day. You know, when I'm driving in the car to work and before driving to work and driving home, you guys, you know, amazing. So to chime in, I think in the short term, trading Howell, you know, it was a great move, but I think in the long term, you know, Howell may turn out to be, you know, a player that we look and, you know, we look back and regret because he showed a lot of potential in the first 11 games of the season. And then, you know, he hit that rookie hit a wall.
Well, he not only did he hit a wall, and thanks for the call, Don.
Hit that hooray! Hit that hooray! Hit that hooray!
He ran into the wall, but he also, I mean, he was broken at the end of the year. Broken. Pass rush, seeing ghosts, sacks, some of that on the line, some of that on him. Usage, Bieniemy, throwing as much as he did. The wall is true, but he just completely different guy. We went through the games yesterday. You can go back and grab the pod if you want to. About this time, 24 hours ago, but early Sam Howell last season, mid-season Sam Howell, and the end of the year, the guy that got benched a couple times in a row for Brissett, it was like two different quarterbacks. I think he just lost his confidence, and frankly, getting a fresh start somewhere else is not the worst thing that's going to happen for him, obviously. Kick off your future with the law firm of Kondori & Murad, official G&D show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will, and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Mark Lerner wrote a letter to Nats fans. I want you to hear it before we get out of here for Nats baseball 20 minutes from now on The Fan. End of the week already. Time flies when you're having fun. Hopefully we got Danny back in the saddle come Monday as he recovers over the weekend from his little procedure. But we checked in on him. He said he was doing well today, feeling a little better. So hopefully Monday, he's questionable right now. He's on the injury report, questionable for a little Monday afternoon G&D. So before we turn things over to Nats baseball at the top of the hour, related, I wanted to hit on this spring training note from Mark Lerner. It came out yesterday. We put it on the rundown. Was planning on getting to it back half the show. Sam Howell gets traded. All hell breaks loose. And that was what we talked about for the remainder of the program for obvious reasons. But this Mark Lerner note was really interesting to me. So I'll read it to you first for those of you that have not seen it. This is the owner of the Washington Nationals addressing fans. But this is kind of odd. I mean, owners will sometimes address a fan base after something major, an acquisition, or you know something bad happens at the ballpark or whatever. But this is kind of out of nowhere to me, to be completely honest. Mark Lerner to the Nationals fan base. Spring training note from the desk of Mark Lerner. Hello again from West Palm Beach. With less than 2 weeks left in spring training, the excitement surrounding the start of the regular season grows every day. And having watched this team in games and on the backfield, it's easy to see why. Our pitching staff has consistently been among Major League Baseball's top five this spring in ERA, WHIP, and fewest walks allowed. Our late-inning relievers Kyle Finnegan and Hunter Harvey have combined for 18 strikeouts and just two walks. Mackenzie Gore has looked especially sharp in his three starts, putting up some of the league's best numbers in terms of ERA and opponent batting average. The offense has been exciting on the bases, which I love to see. As a team, we have the third most stolen bases in all of baseball this spring, with Lane Thomas tied for the individual lead. The players I've especially enjoyed watching are Trey Lipscomb and Jacob Young. Trey had a great year last year and came into camp eager and willing to do anything Davey Martinez asked of him. We've seen him make plays all over the diamond while hitting 367 with just four strikeouts. By the way, just an odd two guys to pick, right? Jacob Young's like back of the 25-man roster, competing for a center field job. I love him. He's one of my favorites. Just a strange guy. And then Lipscomb was one of their non-top prospects who's had a great camp. But I digress. Lerner goes on to write, we saw Jacob in the big leagues last year, and that experience looks to have paid off. He's played all three outfield positions and has hit safely in 8 of his 13 games. While we are certainly enjoying our time down in West Palm Beach, we're looking forward to getting home to Washington, D.C., and playing in front of you, the best fans in baseball. While none of us know exactly what the 2024 season will bring, I can say with confidence that this team will be fun to watch. The additions Mike Rizzo has made to the baseball operations staff are already paying dividends from what we've seen at spring training, and we know that Davey Martinez always gets the most out of the guys in the lineup. Opening day will be here before we know it, and will be tested right out of the gate against two very talented teams in the Reds and Pirates. I don't know how talented the Pirates are. Before our first division matchup against the Phillies, I hope you'll make plans to join us when we open at home on April 1st and several other times throughout the season. On behalf of my family, thank you again for your continued support of the Nationals. We're all looking forward to seeing you soon at Nationals Park. Best wishes, Mark Lerner. So, nice letter. Cool thing. I mean, you want your owner to be transparent, and he's telling you, like, he's breaking down the team and he's giving you stats. But I'm wondering, like, what is the point of this? It's very random. It came out of nowhere.
It's also the second one that he's done this spring so far.
There was another one in spring training?
He did one, I wouldn't say about 2 weeks into spring training. Yeah, it was while we were down in West Palm, actually, is when he did that.
Don't remember that at all. Was it the same kind of deal?
Pretty much the same.
Here are the guys I'm liking right now.
He didn't do as much in terms of stats breakdowns like he did in this one. Yeah. But, yeah, it was pretty spot on. Yeah.
This is my theory, and I don't know what you guys think about this. I think the perception is, and maybe it's the reality, but for the sake of the conversation, the perception has been that this ownership group is not engaged or that they don't really care at this point. They're not spending money. You know, they're not living and dying with the team. That whether the Nationals are good or not doesn't matter. And I can tell you, I know this from just the people I talk to within the organization and some knowledge of the inner workings. Mark Lerner actually really does care and is interested in the team and is a massive baseball fan and Nats fan. And as an example, he was there on draft night when they drafted Dylan Cruz, sitting side by side with Mike Rizzo. And as soon as Rizzo gets him on the phone, Lerner's talking to him. Like, he loves that part of the process. I think he's just trying to make it clear with these letters. I'm here. I'm still interested. I'm still a fan. I know who Trey Lipscomb is. Like, I'm watching Mackenzie Gore closely. And just so you guys know, I really am not like an absentee owner. I'm still very much into the Nationals. That's the best I can come up with as to why they're doing this. Maybe also like build a little juice and excitement. But I think a Rizzo letter would do that just as well if you're just trying to sell some tickets. So very, very interesting to me to see that come out yesterday. And also just hilarious that he goes, I really like Trey Lipscomb and Jacob Young. Hipster picks. I mean, me too. Me and Mark Lerner have that in common. Nats baseball is next. Thanks so much for listening. For Darris and Ryan, Grant saying so long. We will be back on The Fan Monday at 2 o'clock.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.